Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Most of us in the Pacific Northwest are familiar with reusable water bottles by now. I've had mine for 5 years, and it feels like a real accomplishment, with different generations of stickers layered on top of each other as they fade away. Trading in other plastic containers, however, can be challenging. That's where a new startup called Wonderfill comes in. They're not the first to work on refillable systems for shampoo and conditioner, but they are trying to do it better and reduce consumers' plastic waste in the process. I spoke with Wonderfill's creators to learn more about their work ahead of the showcase of the project at the Alberta Market this weekend.
I am Amelia Eichel. Most people call me Mia. I am the CEO and co-founder of Wonderfill. I graduated from Lewis and Clark College in May 2020, and now I'm living in Santa Cruz with my co-founder, Shiloh.
I'm Shiloh Sachs. I'm co-founder and chief engineer of Wonderfill. I'm an electrical engineering student at UCSC, and I'm very passionate about sustainability.
To start out, what is Wonderfill?
So Wonderfill, I always tell people to think about water bottle refill stations, but for shampoo, conditioner, oil, vinegar, anything that comes in a single-use plastic bottle. So Wonderfill looks like a tap station, and you can go up with your reusable bottle and fill your bottle, and the Wonderfill refill stations calculate how many ounces you're dispensing as it dispenses. So for anyone who's refilled their bottles before, they know that usually you have to take the tare weight of your container, and that's unnecessary with Wonderfill. They're smart refill stations, and they are easy to install into any grocery store or university because they're mobile and lightweight, and they fit in a store shelf. So they are intended to be a very scalable solution to the plastic pollution problem and systematically root out single-use plastic from consumer packaged goods supply chains for all liquid and cream products.
Okay, cool. And so what was the inspiration for the startup?
Shiloh and I have been very passionate about sustainability for our whole lives, and I was doing a Map the System project while I was at Lewis and Clark. It's kind of a method for looking at a problem like climate change or the plastic pollution crisis and seeing who all of the different stakeholders are and really what the root of the problem is. And that's how I learned about the involvement of the oil and gas industry in the plastic industry, because of course, plastic is made from fossil fuels and plastic production is expected to really ramp up the next 20 years because ExxonMobil and Saudi Aramco and other oil and gas companies are kind of hedging against the possibility that demand for fossil fuels will increase in response to climate change by heavily investing into plastic production. So I became really passionate about the problem and kind of thought of the idea for refill stations while I was in college, and then had to put it on the back burner when COVID hit. And then that's when I reconnected with Shiloh. We've been friends for our whole lives, but she came over for a dinner for 4th of July, and we were talking about climate change and how concerned we were. And she was like, I'm an engineer. I could build those refill stations for you. So that's when it really kind of clicked that this could be a real thing. And we started talking about it every day. And fast forward to now, we're living together and working on this full time.
And the aesthetic choices for the inspiration of Wonderfill really wanted to give consumers that fun experience that, let's just say, most manual pump refill stations or even a water bottle refill or a gas station don't have, to give people just a motivation for reducing or completely eliminating single-use plastic from their everyday life in a fun way that is completely beneficial even if you didn't care about the environment.
So Wonderfill will be at the Alberta Market on August 28th and 29th. What can you tell us about that event?
So the Alberta Market is put on by our friends at We All Rise Consulting. They are an urban planning firm based in Portland who work on integrity and development. So a lot of environmental and social justice work. And the Alberta Market started last year with the intention to bring people into the community who had been pushed out by gentrification and give them a way to be vendors and sell their goods on Alberta Street, which is Portland's historically Black street and community. So this year, they decided to focus on circular economy and smart city initiative, where the city of Portland is really interested in investing in technology that will help them kind of reduce waste and decrease their carbon footprint. So Quincy Brown, who is the main city planner at We All Rise, invited us to bring a Wonderfill up and kind of demonstrate our solution at the marketplace with the intention of showing people in Portland and Portland city government what our solution is and how it can be scaled.
So I'm interested to have you talk me through some of the planning and design process, like what products you've decided to target as part of this and where you envision installing Wonderfill stations. How did that come into being?
So we're really lucky because there is already kind of this ecosystem of refillable products out there. And our intention is just to improve that refill experience so that more stores and more consumers want to use it. So there are already brands out there that distribute their products in 5-gallon containers. So that was kind of Shiloh's, what she had to work with when building the Wonderfill. It had to have the capacity for these 5-gallon buckets that people are already distributing in. And then the intention is to have more brands who currently distribute in single-use plastic bottles switch over to those 5-gallon buckets because it helps with supply chain efficiency. It's cost cutting. Distributing in bulk saves a lot of money and a lot of shipping costs.
Well, I'd say that one of the few problems with the 5-gallon model that some brands currently use is the only option to get that from a 5-gallon to the consumer's, let's just say, bottle or package is to manually pump it themselves, which is very time consuming. I would say very disability inaccessible and just an all around waste of people's time. We live in the 21st century and it's just a very odd solution for a problem. And so we hope to fill that gap between the 5-gallon to the consumer's bottle in a very fast way.
Yeah. So the goal for the dispenser was for it to be really easy to use and accessible and quick. It kind of cuts refilling time in half to, you know, in a quarter to refill a bottle of shampoo.
So to fill a bottle, like a full, let's just say 16-ounce bottle of shampoo, it would take probably 3 to 5 seconds with our machine.
Yeah. So kind of cutting out all of the extra steps to make this as fun as possible to use.
You mentioned grocery stores and universities. Those are the main places you'd like to integrate them?
So we're starting with universities. I kind of knew when I started working on this in college that this was a problem that universities cared about because they were creating these zero waste goals. So Lewis and Clark had gotten rid of all single-use plastic bottles for beverages and cutlery and straws and things like that. And then the entire University of California system, too, had a zero waste goal. And so we reached out to the University of California, Santa Cruz, and asked them kind of what their strategy was for getting rid of single-use plastics on campus and meet such an ambitious goal. And they said that they didn't really have a plan for single-use plastic bottles used to sell shampoo, conditioner, condiments, and cleaning products. So that's kind of where we came in.
Yeah, the majority of the focus in the talk around reducing plastic has been, and rightfully to a degree so, around what we eat. So, you know, plastic bottles for Coca-Cola, plastic bottles for ketchup, for your soap. And there's, I think, a rightful thought there. However, the body care and things that we need every day just for basic hygiene have been completely ignored from that when it's a really easy way to reduce plastic waste.
So yeah, we're going after universities. That's been really exciting. There's, you know, a lot of groups are trying to advance sustainability in higher education. So we're going to spread our refill stations far and wide that way. And then in grocery stores, you know, we're intentionally making it so that it doesn't take up a lot of space and that it fits into a traditional store shelf. And we've gotten a lot of validation from the brands that we want to work with that is something that grocery stores are interested in, yeah. But it just needs to fit right and it needs to work right. So we have a lot of helpful input from the brands that we're working with who have already tried to get refill stations in stores about what these need to look like and what the specs need to be in order for them to make it into grocery stores.
And is the end product going to be cost-cutting for consumers? Is that part of the thought process as well?
Yes, it is.
Exactly. So, for example, let's say you buy, like, I think the best example is like a travel size thing of shampoo, but that's usually about $1.50. 75 cents of that is just plastic. And the cost just gets about, for a large, let's say like 16-ounce thing of shampoo, about 25% of that cost is just the packaging, not even including the labeling or branding, but just the plastic itself. So we are cutting that completely on the consumer end, as well as on the supply end, just distributing in 5 gallons is a lot more efficient. So yes, we cost them less money to fill with the Wonderfill.
What are the brand stakeholders that are interested in doing reusable containers and refillables versus other brands that have, you know, stakes in keeping plastic and more branding like that? Is there a difference in the types of brands that are interested in collaborating?
We've actually been surprised to see that a lot of the brands that we're talking to, this is something that they've been wanting to do for a long time. And these are big brands like Nestle and Unilever, Seventh Generation, EO, the, you know, big cleaning and body care company brands. It just requires a lot of research and development, and the pressure to kind of invest in technology like this wasn't as strong as it has been in the past few years. So we're finding that due to, you know, a lot of the activism work that's been happening, where people go out and do brand audits and actually count plastic bottles that are polluting the environment and tie that back to the brand who made those plastic bottles, we're finding that those have been really effective and have actually resulted in most brands that distribute in single-use plastic bottles actively searching for refill technology like ours.
And we also offer brands benefits that wouldn't necessarily be involved with a typical plastic container. When you go to the grocery store to buy your, let's just say, container of conditioner, the brand is essentially guessing exactly how much product you want, but we're giving consumers exactly what they want volumetrically. It is a completely exact science, and we can give that information to brands. We can tell them exactly how much product people want, the product velocity, what's popular. There's a lot of data that can be given that plastic just can't give. So there's a lot of benefit to the brand that isn't exactly consumer-facing.
Yeah, we're finding a lot of the brands that we're talking to are both interested in reducing single-use plastic and just improving their supply chain and improving the way that they get product into customers' hands. And we provide a lot of those benefits in addition to reducing single-use plastics.
Very cool. Wow. So part of your mission is both to educate people on reducing plastic waste and to give them this new tool to tackle that. So what aspects of plastic pollution do you find are often misunderstood?
Oh, that's a great question. I think there is an entire side of plastic that people don't necessarily see as creating pollution, and that's plastic production. So plastic production is just as polluting as plastic disposal, right? We know that less than 9% of plastic has ever been recycled, and that's why you see plastic bottles and plastic pollution, you know, washing up on the shores of the Philippines and Malaysia and, you know, islands. But in addition to that, if you look at, say, in Louisiana, where a lot of these petrochemical plants are, the pollution from extracting the raw materials that make plastic, which is ethane gas, and refining it into petrochemicals is extremely polluting, right? The oil wells used pollute water and pollute the air. The refineries release really toxic chemicals into the environment, and that's just projected to increase. You know, the fossil fuel industry is investing heavily in petrochemical plants, and that's just extremely dangerous, and it causes cancer rates that are far higher than the national average in the communities that live around these refineries. So there are a lot of ways that plastic pollutes the environment that aren't talked about a lot.
And the microplastics, you know, plastic doesn't degrade in the way that, let's just say, a banana would or type of like natural receptacle would. Those microplastics never go away. They just get smaller. I mean, we're finding them in infants and fetuses in the womb. Mm-hmm. They're found in all parts of the world now. And we basically did an experiment on the world in a mass way, but didn't really think about the externalities. And we're just ramping up. You know, there's no plan for after. It's just hopefully recycled, but recycling as we know it is not working. Yeah. And a lot of communities in other parts of the world then burn the plastic or burn the waste after it has been, you know, used, which creates another environmental impact and detriment. And it's just on all parts of this, it's unnecessary and horrible for the environment and public health.
Yeah, there are so many things to be said here. I mean, a part of the reason why we're reckoning with this problem right now and why it's showing up in the media so much is because in 2018, China stopped accepting our plastic waste. So all of the plastic that, you know, we thought was being recycled was really just being shipped to China. And now we have to kind of reckon with that and deal with all this plastic waste. And that's why there's kind of this renewed reckoning and we have to really face the waste that we're producing.
And I think where Wonderful can come in, and there's been a lot of, I think, needed talk around recycling or upcycling plastic, using it for other things after it's had its first use. But to really reduce plastic, there just aren't market solutions for reduction. It's just kind of, I think, a little antithetical to our current system. And Wonderful can give that. There are very few technologies that truly reduce production of a, you know, finite material.
Yeah, reduce demand for it in kind of a systematic way.
I mean, plastic's great, you know, hard plastic, plastic's durable. It's an amazing material for specific, you know, long-lasting uses. But the idea that something we need just for a few minutes to be held in it is just kind of ridiculous. And I think people on some level understand that. And that's where this upcry is coming from.
Yeah.
Wonderful is a startup right now, but I'd love to talk about what the big picture would look like if refilling stations like yours were widely adopted. How would that look for people's day-to-day lives?
Great question. Thank you.
Yeah. So we imagine two models of the Wonderfill out in the world. The first works kind of like a vending machine. So, you know, you'll have Wonderfill refill stations at the airport or at hotels or universities where you just walk up, swipe your card, fill your bottles, and then Wonderfill charges your card automatically and you can walk away and, you know, it's really, really easy to just refill your bottles whenever you need to. And then the second use that we see for Wonderfill is kind of transforming the shampoo aisle in grocery stores to just look kind of like a tap wall, basically.
Yeah, like a big pour room at a bar.
Yeah, so that people can just walk up and refill their bottles and it's fully integrated into their daily shopping experience. And we're really in the habit of refilling the same bottle every time we run out of shampoo, conditioner, olive oil, vinegar, honey, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and we very much hope for these two models to be an everyday part of people's lives. It's just how you do things, you know, it makes perfect sense.
If folks are interested in learning more, what's the best way for them to do that?
They should visit our website, which is www.wonderfill.world. They can sign up for our newsletter where we send updates on where we're launching and what we're up to. And then they can follow us on Instagram, which is wonderfill.dispensers. We post a lot of updates there too.
Yeah, and if there's a public space or university or grocery store that you think Wonderfill would be great at, become an advocate. Reach out to us, reach out to the store. We just need passionate people to really like put their foot forward and say they want this. It's how we're, the only thing that's ever changed the world, really.
Yeah. You can email us to hello@wonderfill.world. If you represent a brand or a grocery store or university that is interested in refill stations.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I think that the world knows that we need to change pretty soon. And I think there's a lot of push on the citizen or even consumer end, if you want to call it that, to do something. And I think you can see that in the success of greenwashing campaigns. There's a reason why they're everywhere. People really want their consumer dollars to mean something, to do something, and it's admirable. But there's just no space for that. And the technological world, I mean, we have flying cars now, but we don't have that tech in what we need every day, at the grocery store, at the market. So I think Wonderfill can fill that gap.
That was my conversation with Wonderfill creators Amelia Eichel and Shiloh Sachs about their innovative solution to curb consumers' plastic waste. They'll be showcasing their Wonderfill dispenser at the Alberta Market on August 28th and 29th, where people can fill their own reusable bottle with locally made soap and hand sanitizer to take home. Find links related to this story on our website, KBOO.fm. This has been KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings. Thanks for listening.